You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I... Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another broadcast on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Amen. I think I got some of my brothers. I'll find out in a minute. But I'm Reverend Ray, or just Ray. Amen. We got Alston Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell with us today. Amen. Hopefully, I know somebody texted. It may be a little late. Amen and stuff. So we're going to talk about a couple things. Our topic today, we're going to talk about fathers and sons. Actually, this came from Elston earlier. He had put something on social media about reading Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 7. So I'm not sure exactly who I have with me. Brothers, who I got with me today?
Hey, good afternoon. This is Tony.
Tony. Hey, Tony. What's up, bro?
How's it going?
All right. All right. Hey. Who else?
Good evening, brothers. It's Cleophas.
Okay, we got Cleophas. And I believe we also have a guest on. Did you want to introduce yourself, or you just want to listen?
My name is Jerry Butcher. I work Jerry with Cleophas.
Okay. I want to welcome to the broadcast. I see other people signing on. I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast of Christian Speak Talk Radio. Again, this is R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Don't forget, as always, when Christian Speak Talk Radio has several broadcasts on. We have a listener base in over 140 different countries. God is blessing this ministry. We are strictly about getting the word out as far as Jesus Christ and loving on Him. Amen. We don't have no desire to fame and fortune. Nobody's going to go out and buy no airplane, nothing like that. But we want to get the word about the love of God. Amen. And I'll do the show announcements at the end. But let's go ahead and open up in prayer. I'm glad that Brother Cleophas and Brother Tony is with us today. Amen. Father God, we come today first to give you thanks for your many, many blessings. We thank you for a new day, a brand new day that we have never, ever seen before, God. We thank you how you woke us up, God, early in the mornings, God, clothed in our right mind, Lord Jesus, and hand giving us desire to seek after you, God. So today, God, we give this broadcast and all those that are listening in all different life forms in all different areas over to you. You know their private prayers. They don't want us to know about except for you and them. We pray, God, that whatever needs to be done in their life, that you will come and touch them right now in the name of Jesus, that you will begin to minister to them right where they are, God, and to show them a more excellent way in you, God. We thank you in advance for the miracles that you will perform. We thank you for the healing that will be done, God. We thank you for the breakthroughs that will be taken care of, God. We thank you for the directions that will be given, God. We thank you for the anointing that will be poured afresh upon their head, Lord Jesus. So keep them in all things. We thank you for every person that's listening, Lord Jesus. We give this broadcast to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brothers, what's going on, man? I tell you, I thought Reverend Elston has posted something about fathers and sons, and hopefully he'll come on later, because I know he's celebrating a birthday, but hopefully he'll come on later today and be able to get in detail. But we're going to talk about that, and also I posted on social media because I was watching the game, and I think, you know, I got to talk football a little bit. I was watching the game, and man, what happened, man?
You know, it looked like a shiny new toy in the beginning, and then all of a sudden it looked like the same old toy again. I had to put it down.
Yeah, because they was winning, man. They was winning at first, and I was like, oh, here they go. Okay, all right. And then all of a sudden, Philly just came back, man. It was like Philly just got upset with them, man. And I was like, wow, you know.
Well, they threw the first punch, and then Philly came back and hit them back in the mouth, and they just never recovered after that.
Yeah, he never recovered. See, this is the young man. So I don't know whether you're a Redskins fan, but we got Cowboy fans and Redskins fans between the two of us. So I mean,
Steeler fan.
He's a Steeler. Oh, good. We need some diversion. We need some diversion. Okay, good. Yeah, see, I can't say that about the Steelers. They won like 6 Super Bowls or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I can't say.
Yeah, we can't talk too much. We won behind you guys, so.
Yeah, so I can't mess with you, man. So I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you alone. But it looks like the Cowboys are winning. The last time I checked, I think the score is like 35-10 or something like that. You know, so you know, I'm not going to say anything about that because I don't want to rub it in, Cleophas, man. You know, I don't want to mess with you, man. I don't want to mess with you a little bit.
Playing the worst team in the division, so you know we ain't
got that. Okay. See, hey, Tony, you know what I noticed, man? They go in that direction when when we winning. What's it about, man? Come on, man.
Well, you know what? We get to play each other head-to-head next week. So, you know, I'll reserve talking until then.
Okay. All right. I'm going to send you – I'm sending everybody emojis. You know, I'll behave. All right. But anyway, I just want to – and some of the other scores for those that are following football, we want to – Green Bay is up 10 to – Well, no, Green Bay won today, 10-3 over Chicago. Man, that was an interesting game. And who else? Oh, Steelers play today. Okay. The Steelers play today at 8:20. Okay. They have a night game. Okay. All right. So the only one that really matters is the Cowboy game. I'm sorry. I'm being biased. That's not fair, right? Oh, and the Titans destroyed the Browns 43-13. Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, anything else you guys, anything else to add to that football thing with the men that are looking out for football? Oh, the Ravens won 59-10. See, I didn't see none of these games. The only one I cared about was the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Cowboys, what you call, you know?
Yeah, of course. You know,
you
don't want to look out for your team. I know.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's sad. I know. But that's amazing. But anyway, I'm glad football season has started. Now, Austin, when I mentioned the Cowboys or break up football, I guess it's appropriate because it's football season. So we'll leave it at that. But again, everybody, I want to welcome you, those that are listening to the different media platforms. This has been Christian Speak Talk Radio. This is Gary said Friday Night Joy. This is R3 Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. I'm with today. I have Brother Cleophas with me, Brother Antonio, Brother Tyrone, I'm not sure, and Brother Elston should be joining us later on. We can go ahead and talk about this topic of fathers and sons. For me personally, I don't have any children. I don't have any sons, but I know most of the brothers here do have fathers and sons or have had a father, for those that have had a father in their life. I'm going to put out this right here for me and Brother Cleophas, who is related to me, my first cousin. My father in life was my uncles, okay? I was surrounded by my uncles and one other person, Bishop William Brandon, that has passed on many years ago. But they were the grooming, my uncles were the grooming effect as far as in my life, as far as teaching us certain things, some good and some bad, you know, some good and some bad things, you know, just trying to be transparent and everything like that. But as they got older, most of them got involved or got converted into Christ and everything, and their lifestyle and everything changed. Especially Cleophas' father, man. Your father was just a beacon for me on how a man would react, and I saw the interaction he had as as with you, as a son, and all of my uncles, the same thing. And so when we begin to talk about our father and our son, there's something unique and special about their relationship. Okay, and of course, the number one relationship is between God the Father and the Son Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he never did anything without his father knowing about it or being in the will of his father. Okay, and some of the scriptures that Brother Elston had pulled up as I am Proverbs, and when I went back and looked at Proverbs, it's like multiple chapters and verses in there that the writer is talking to his son. You know, he's talking to his son. Amen. But so I don't know what. I don't want to take up too much of the talking, so I want you to give you guys a chance to talk, and then if you got scriptures or whatever, then we get into it. So talk to me.
I think you, Brother Ray, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, this is really a good topic, man, because, you know, there's a lot of men that didn't have that father figure in the home, and sometimes they had to, you know, well, they had to get it, that figure from outside of the home.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to have my father with me until I was an adult, and, you know, our relationship was good, and then there was times that it wasn't so good, but the times that it wasn't good, it wasn't him, it was me, you know, because I wasn't living a life that lined up with the word of God. So there was no contention or anything like that, but there was periods of time where I didn't want to talk to him, not because I didn't love him, but because I knew that I wasn't living a life according to what he liked. And more importantly, the scripture tells us that we should train up a child in the way that they should go. And I think one of the keys as a father, as a parent, is to make sure that the life that we live before our children represent a godly type of life. You know, we lead by example and not so much by what we say, you know, because our kids, I've learned, man, kids will, they're going to do what they see you do, not so much what you tell them to do, you know. More is caught. So, you know, it's important that if I'm saying something, that my life lines up with what I'm saying. And that's one thing I can say about my father. His life lined up with what he said, you know, from basic things, you know, of how to make sure that, you know, you're taking care of your household. Just little things, you know. It's not so much big things, but little things. But more importantly, you should be able to trace back and see the love of a father. Because, you know, I found out, you know, God, when he set this whole family thing up, and fathers and sons and daughters, in the man, he put himself in all of us. And consequently, by putting himself in all of us, he's able to put himself in every household. And it's up to us as men, you know, to lead by example and to show our children the way. And the scripture, I believe, it says, don't provoke your children to anger, you know. So we shouldn't beat them across the head and you know, yes, they should go to church. And yes, there should be some rules set. But, man, there's got to be some latitude where they can make a decision as well. Because, you know, when you push it down, when you push something down somebody's throat so much and so hard, they become resistant to it. And a lot of times that causes them to stray away and stray further away than they would have if there would have been some love associated with it or not as strong a force associated with it. You get people to do more things when they buy into what you're trying to get them to do. And I think that was one of the things that my dad and my grandparents did with us as kids. I mean, we didn't have a choice about going to church. mm-hmm. But we had some sort of say in some things, you know, so that was important.
All right. Amen. Brother Cleophas, Brother Tony, you got anything to add?
Oh, yeah. I know for me, growing up, I didn't have my father when I was young and throughout my teenage years, and it wasn't really until my young adult years that my father and I started to start the communication. It wasn't frequent, but it at least started. During that time, it was really my uncles who really played a pivotal role into teaching me what it was like to be a man, and they were basically my role, you know, my father figures, my role models at that time. And, you know, just being around them, they didn't really emphasize too hard on me what it took to be a man or to be a Christian man at that. But anytime it seemed like I was steering off way out, you know, far left, they would just, you know, come in and show me love and give me that tough love in a respectful and loving way to bring me back on course. And I'll never forget that because I was, you know, really almost out there. I was doing things that I was going to church, and then right after church, I was living the life of a heathen, so to speak. So they pretty much say you have to choose one or the other. You have to choose the world or you have to choose Christ. You can't teeter-totter between the two. You have to choose one or the other. And when they broke it down to me, I chose Christ. And that was the best talk that my uncle ever had with me. And to this day, I just love him for that because he didn't say – He left the choice to me. He didn't say, you're going to choose it. He left the choice up to me. And that helped me to make the best decision that I ever made. And one of the things that I had to let go of was my anger towards my father in order to build the relationship with him because my anger was starting to turn into hate. And I had to really just check myself for one, and it wasn't a sudden check. It was a year, you know, a year process. It took years to get to that point where I had to finally get out of myself, really truly forgive my father, and then actually reach out to my father. And one of the best things that ever happened was when I got married almost 10 years now was the fact that my father was in my wedding. If he would have asked me years before that, that wouldn't have been a possibility. But after I really, really just reached out to him and really started the process of really trying to build that relationship, that event was able to happen. And just recently we had a discussion to just say there's nothing we could do about the past. He regrets not being there while I was growing up, and I regret him not being there and all the anger and the bad things that I said about him. But we wiped the slate clean and basically said from this moment forward, we're only going to look at today and we're going to look at the future of having the best father-son relationship that we could have. So this topic and this discussion is just so timely because I'm actually going through that right now myself.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
That was so good, Antonio, man, because it spoke about this relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, man. You know,
right?
He doesn't force us to make a decision. He just puts it out in front of us and says, "Hey, choose life. Don't choose death. Choose life." And man, that man, what you just said was so beautiful. You know, and it represents the kingdom of God and salvation, you know. I'm telling you, that was so on point,
Right.
Because to be able to not have a relationship with your father for however many years it was, and then now to be having a relationship and the relationship to be growing, it epitomizes what salvation is. You know, if you didn't have a relationship with Christ Jesus for 25 years or 30 years, and all of a sudden you came to Christ and you started having, now that relationship starts to grow and you start to build on it. And quite frankly, the only regrets there is on our end for not choosing that life earlier. And man,
yeah.
that, that was so powerful. And then the forgiveness that's locked up inside of that is just so powerful.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I don't know where the what was your name again, the guest that's on?
Jerry.
Jerry, look, because I don't want to leave you out, because you're the only one I have unmuted. But if you want to join in, man, by all means, join on. This is not, I mean, we appreciate you even being here, okay? And so do the other listeners. We appreciate you being here. But Jerry is unmuted.
I'm soaking it all in.
Okay. All right. The other thing, fellas, that I thought about, too, is that most of what we all have mentioned is that the father figure doesn't necessarily have to be someone that's related to us, you know. There have been also people in my life in ministry that has done a lot of mentoring that I look at them. They were older gentlemen. They was like a pastor of a church that I considered to be a father, you know. And like a father, there were times they had to bring forth chastisement. Even as a grown man, they saw me doing something that was not Christ-like, or there was some questions about it, and they brought it correct. You know, he brought it. This particular person brought it correct and everything. And
you gotta be truthful now, man. Was that a lot, or you know, was quite often?
You know what? You know what, man. To be honest with you, to be truthfully with you, at that time in the church, it was quite often. And it was only because growing up in the church and being Pentecostal and in the background, I thought I knew everything. And I really didn't know nothing. You know, I was one of those that when I got back in the church, then I had grew up in the church, I had started preaching. I'm at the age of 14, backslided, did all that, decided to come, Christ brought me back, welcomed me back. Then when I got back into it, I thought and I didn't really know anything. So, yeah, it was quite. it was quite. He will pull up my coattails in a heartbeat, you know. But he would do it out of love, and he would always pull me off to the side, and bring correction out of love,
right,
and everything. And to be transparent again, there were some times I didn't receive it. You know, let's be for real. You know, we don't always receive correction. You know, let's be for real. You know, we don't always receive a correction because we think we know best. And then as God began to deal with it, in fact, I don't mind calling his name, but I still call him Father now. his name is Pastor Reverend Glenn, and he was out of the AME Church in Alexandria, Virginia, which I was a member for a very long time. But as a father in ministry, it's interesting. And you guys can help me out with this. It's interesting because it was me and some other ministers that was going through their classes there. He can look at us a certain way, and we knew exactly what he wanted us to do. He can look a certain way, or if he looked at you and you sounds like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. You know what I mean? It was that kind of relationship. You know, we had developed a relationship. We got to know each other that well. That we knew, you know, we knew. If he wanted you to get up and read the scripture or do something, or if he thought that you was taking too long, but you know, doing something in particular and everything, or if you wasn't following the instructions that was given, you knew, you knew and stuff. So yeah, that was my experience with him as a father in ministry and everything. But God has blessed me to be surrounded by mighty men of valor, and I thank every single one that has been a part of my life for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, one of the scriptures that Elston, come on, I'm hoping he joins us, but if he don't, we're gonna read what we got. Okay. It says this is coming out of Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." You know, isn't that the same thing what God wants for us to do? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know,
oh, yeah.
And that's the whole point of raising up. I mean, the daughters, we're not isolating anybody, but there's something about their father and son relationship and stuff that goes beyond anything that we can truly understand. When a father look at a daughter and Cleophas, and Charlie, you can help me with this. When you look at your daughter, your idea for them is to protect them. But when you look
right.
at your son,
yeah.
your idea for them is to make them a mini me or better than you or whatever. So you guys help me with that. Explain the
yeah.
difference between the two. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was gonna say you're most definitely right because. I have my daughter, and, you know, it's always protection. That's the first thing that always comes to mind is protection, making sure that I nurture her, make sure that I show concern and compassion towards her feelings, and to let her know that Dad loves her.
Yeah.
And then with my sons, it's pretty much what you said is to – either I always tell them all the time, I say, I want you to be a better man than me. I don't want you to be me. I don't want you to try to mimic everything that I've done. But the way you see that I treat your mother, the way you see me operate as a husband, as a father, as a man of God, if you see something that you choose to copy or choose to live out in your life, then I'm all for it. But you have to choose how you're going to be that man of God, how you're going to be that father, how you're going to be that husband. But I hope that by watching me that you learn something from this experience, and the way you see me treat your mother is the same way you treat women in general. So it's really a balance that you have to have when you're dealing with your daughters and then dealing with your sons, because I tend to be more firm on my sons than I am on my daughters. She could just cry. I'm just like, hey, daddy, fix it. And then my son's cry is like, hey, man up. You know, but, you know, I'm getting way better with that. So it's definitely a balance that you have to have. But one thing that I do want to share is yesterday my second oldest son, he was taking his senior pictures. And just to see him, just in case you don't know, I have two bonus children. We're in a blended family, so the two oldest are my bonus children, and the two youngest are biologically through my wife and I. But you couldn't tell because I treat them all the same. I never say stepchildren. I never say anything like that. Those are my sons. And I felt so proud as a father yesterday to just see the man and the young man that he has become and the maturity that he is showing at such a young age, at just 17, going on 18. And you can see some of the things that he's seen in me, he's starting to do, and I didn't even have to force him to be that way. So it just, you know, I just cry because I thank God, because I said thank you for, I didn't always get it right as a father, but the things that I did get right, I could see it through him. So, you know, that just brings, you know, everything to fruition.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I think you definitely, you know, with daughters, and I have three of them, three daughters, three granddaughters, and one grandson. So you know, and my grandson is the oldest, so that speaks for itself.
Right.
But it is you know, daughters are, as Antonio said, that there's a more emotion. Be careful, you know, what you say, how you say it, with them. Because they, you know, it can set it can set them on a course or set their, your relationship with them on a course in such a negative way, just by, you know, how you treat them and what you say. So it's important that, that you have communication. You got to be able to communicate with your children, whether girls or boys. You need to be able to communicate with them, effectively communicate with them. You know, where it's important that they know that they can come to you for anything. You know, my daughters are all grown. My grandkids, I want them to know that I don't care what the news is that you're going to tell me. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how good it is. I just want you to be able to tell me, you know, and
right.
know that you can tell me, and this is a safe place. Know that you can tell me, you know, okay, I might be upset. It's okay, though, because if I don't know about it, I can't help you through what you're going through. But if I know about it, at least I can share with you my experiences or try to help guide you through. So I think that's truly important is the communication piece between a father and a daughter, a father and a son, whether it be a spiritual father. You know, you don't have to be a biological father to have children.
Right.
Because somebody's always watching, man, and people will tag you and look up to you and model themselves after you. So it's important that we're always looking to set the right example. And do we miss it from time to time? You're doggone right, we do.
Hey, you right about that.
We do.
Amen.
But
amen.
I think the love piece, man. I think I think about the prodigal son, you know, and you know that he left home and he came back home, but the thing that really stands out to me in that parable, in that story, man, is that the father's disposition never changed toward the son.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When the son left, the father gave him his portion of the goods, and he let him go. And when he came back, the father ran and met him and kissed him in his disgusting state. He'd been in a pig pen. He hadn't bathed. He had to be stinking. And the father accepted him just the way he was. And that's love, man. I think as whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, as parents, you know, we our kids are not going to always hit the mark the way we want them to hit the mark, but our disposition and our stance and the way we look at them and the way we see them should never change.
Amen.
You know, I've learned in scripture that you call those things to be not as though they were. So maybe like I wasn't acting the way my parents wanted me to act. But that didn't change the disposition that they had toward me, nor did it change what they were saying about me. So you won't find me telling my children or telling, you know, my kids that they're never going to be anything. You know, I'm not going to say what Satan wants me to say. I'm not going to say what I see. I'm going to say what the Word says about them. And hopefully and prayerfully, if I'm communicating that way to them, that becomes their foundation for later on in life.
Amen. Also, go ahead, Tony.
No, I was just saying that's just so good, and that's so important that you speak into your children's life, because just like the Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I do make sure that what I say to my kids, I'm very careful in what I say, because if you keep saying a certain thing, then they will actually start to believe that's what they are. So it just pains me sometimes when I see parents call their kids stupid or anything of that nature, and it just belittles the kids, and it was said earlier, do not provoke your kids to wrath. And we as fathers, we just have to make sure, even when we might get angry, and I like the point of, would I be upset sometimes when my sons do something or when my kids do something that is contrary to what I want them to do? Yes, I'm upset. But at the same time, one of the things that I do is when I'm upset, I step away. I step away from them. I step away from the situation, cool down, because when you're speaking at the heat of the moment, even sometimes you won't be able to step away all the time. But just really just collect yourself and really just try not to say anything that's going to be detrimental to them later in their future. So words are powerful. And when the words come from the father, they mean a lot more. Not to say that the mother's words don't matter, but it's a lot when the father says something to the children.
That's true.
Amen. Amen.
That's true. You know, as you guys are talking, I mean, there are different areas when you look, when you think about a father and a son relationship. And there are, like we've already stated, there are some that don't have sons, young men that don't have a relationship with their father, because, and I want to be very careful here because I'm not picking on anybody, but it's because the mother didn't want them to have a relationship with the father based off of the fact of what happened between the mother and the father. Okay? So they decided that, well, you're not going to see your son, or you. I was reading probably about a couple of months ago about this young man. He had two sons, and the mother was taking him to court for child support. But at the same time, she didn't want him to have any kind of visitation right, because she was upset with him because he was somebody else, the whole drama thing that goes on sometimes. And this is real life. This is real situations that are happening and everything. So I want to say to any woman, any women that are listening, amen, that you do not want to deny the relationship between their father, any of your kids, with the father, okay? You don't want to deny that. You know, you want to give them the opportunity. Then there are, with this closing, there are some men that that most people consider don't want to take care of their kids, have no interest in taking care. But I'm talking about those that want to be a part of their lives. Okay, I'm talking about those and stuff like that, because that relationship is very, extremely important. Okay, growing up in a single family, mother raising us basically with four boys and everything, it was not always easy. A woman cannot take the place of a man or a father in a young man's life. Okay, I know that could get me in trouble too, but they just can't. Okay, there are certain things that a father would be. Can teach a young man or a son that a woman or a female cannot, okay, and everything. It just can't. And I'm not talking about going to play basketball. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about how to tie it. They're just things, you know. They're intangible. You can't put a name necessary on it, but it's important that their father be a part of their life. Okay, and before I get a mic over to you guys, and I want you guys to discuss about it too, I also want to talk to those fathers out there that have decided that they don't want to take care of their kids for whatever the reason are. You know, I want to reach out to you today, and my prayer for you is that God would change your heart. Okay, whether it be a daughter or whether it be a son, that God would change your heart and you would do what's right. Okay, because one of the things that I realized, and I've lived quite a few, many years, bless God, and I've seen men as they grow older, and maybe they didn't have a relationship with their children when they were younger, but as they begin to grow older, they want that relationship. You know, they want to be called dad, but you didn't do dad things with them, you know, so... And you get upset with them when they talk to you in any kind of way, or when they shy away from you. But you didn't do the necessary parts that was supposed to take place in the beginning and everything. Now, don't get me, the Bible says that we should honor our mother and father. He doesn't put a time limit
right.
on whether we should honor our mother and father, okay? There's no time limit. And it's, it doesn't also say that whether your mother and father will always be good either. It just says honor, okay? It says honor and stuff. But my prayer is that the amount of the many young men that's out here that's walking around in the streets or whatever and stuff like that, that maybe that's the father figure's not there, that someone will come and grab them or talk with them and pull them to the side, amen, and begin to minister to them and to teach them that they have value. Because if we don't do it as men, then the streets would do it. Okay? The streets would do it. Amen? Go ahead, I'm going to let you guys go ahead.
And I think that's a very good point. When you talk about mentorship, just look at what it starts out with, men, you know. And I think that's one of the things that, as men of God, that's one of the things we need to do is to go back and get those young men that don't have those father figures or really don't have any male figures that they could really go to that could provide a positive aspect on life, especially ones that are not growing up in the best of situations throughout their life. So if we can, when God presents the opportunity to be a mentor or to be a spiritual guide or advisor to the younger generation, we should take every opportunity to do so, because a lot of the kids, if you see them acting in a certain way or their behavior is not becoming of who they really are, it's not because they're just bad. It's because they haven't been taught what
right.
the right way is. So we have to, in love, we have to take every opportunity possible to really just show the light of God and show that you can be a man and love God at the same time.
Yeah, that's
right. Amen. And I believe, you know, I think that just to piggyback on what Antonio was just saying, man, you know, people are always watching, you know, whether
right.
it be adults or children, and they will identify someone that they believe either has what they want or has experienced the direction that they want to go in, and they identify with them, and they will latch on, for lack of a better word, to that person or individual. And the most tragic thing that can happen is for them to find out that your life that you're living in public is not the life that you live in private. So, man, it's so important that you know, the life that we live in front of people is the same life that we live in the privacy of our own homes. You know, I can't put on a facade that I love my wife in public, and then I get home and I'm cussing her out and I'm beating
right.
on her, things of
right.
that nature. You know, because I was taught from a very young age that everything you do in the dark gonna come to light. And so it's, man, it's so important that we live a life before our children, that we live a life before others that represents us with God. If I'm going to say I'm a Christian, if I'm going to say I'm a blood-washed child of the Most High God, I can't just say that when I'm in front of people or if I'm standing in a pulpit. My life has to be that. That's the way I worship God. You know, and
right.
if I'm putting God first in everything that I do, then consequently that attachment to Him will put that attachment on my kids, will put that attachment on people that I have influence over, will put that attachment on those that I'm mentoring or those that are looking up to me. And you can be mentoring somebody and look and never have a personal relationship with them, but they've marked you as the person that they want to be like.
Right.
And man,
right.
I can't tell you how important it is that as men and as believers, that we live a life that represents, you know, our Heavenly Father. And if we're living a life that represents our Heavenly Father, you know, everything else will line up. And I equate it to this. If my vertical relationship is on point, then every horizontal relationship that I have will line up with that vertical relationship. And the vertical relationship is my relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If that's on point, then every horizontal relationship there is, it's got to line up, because that's what the scripture says. The scripture says, when a man's ways please God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Amen.
You know, so that's how important it is for our lives to represent the kingdom of God and represent God. And we can still have fun doing it. We can talk about the Cowboys and the Redskins and football, and we can still have fun doing it. We shouldn't be, you know, collars buttoned all up and you know, holy rope. Yeah. There's a time and a place for everything.
Right.
And when we're mentoring and when we're going about our life should represent God. And we should have joy. We should be full of joy. Why? Because we know the Father. And more importantly, the Father knows us.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. And that says a lot. I mean, I like the idea. I mean, most all the churches that I've attended over the last 2 years have something for the young people, and they, or something for the young men. You know, whether it's some form of mentorship or because there's a lot of single families and the women. There's a lot of single women raising families now. You know, by themselves. Okay. And I know some that was having problems with the young men and everything, and they would bring up to the brothers. And the one of the things I liked about the church, that one of the churches I was at, is that we would always take these young men with us when we had our men's fellowship. Okay,
amen.
They would always bring them with them. No, you can't stay at home and watch TV. You know, you got to come be with us, be around the brothers and listen to hear us talk about Jesus Christ. Hear us talk about the Lord, but hear us talk about real life things, you know. And because that, then we become an example, you know. Even though the Father may not be in their life like they want, then we become an example and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a while back, some years ago, I used to do mentoring for in Maryland for this different groups of families for this agency. And we would mentor them to the point that we would not only go to the school, but we also go to the house, and we would have communication. I would take them to do things they never did before. We also did stuff like if they had to go to court. I mean, we was an advocate for the family, you know,
right.
that didn't necessarily have complete parental package there, or, you know, or maybe the father was incarcerated or whatever and stuff. And it was always amazing, even then, to watch. And these young people, man, we're not talking, they were like 8 and 9 and that kind of age. They were very young, but at that point in their life, the streets had got them, and it wasn't too late to bring them in, but it wasn't easy. And you had to minister to them to a point like, look, you can do better. This is not what you can do better. You can have a much better life. And being able to talk to them and pull them in the direction and let them see things and look, you can accomplish this. It doesn't have to be the street, straight up street or straight up hood or nothing like that. Because you can do better than where you are right now. And I'm going to help you. You know what I mean? I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you. And if you're willing, I'm going to teach you how to do it.
Yeah, it's so important that we, you know, as believers first, that we don't push people away. You know, sometimes you can be too strong. You know what I'm saying? And you can cause people to push away or to pull away from you. Because you're so rigid and you're so staunch, that doesn't mean that you have to lower your standards in any kind of way whatsoever. But
right.
The Bible says in Ephesians, it says speaking the truth in love, And sometimes what we're saying, although what we're saying is right, is so hard and it's so, I can't think of the word, but it's just so rigid, and it can push people away and make people not want to, you know, not, man, I don't want to mess with that dude. He's so stern, you know.
Right.
And that's what we do on this show. You know, we laugh, we have a little fun, we talk about serious topics, but we have fun doing it at the same time. We rib each other. And that's what the body of Christ should represent. It shouldn't represent, you know, if I'm not living this way 100% of the time, every day, 24/7, 365, you know, that I'm going to hell.
That's not what
the kingdom of God is at all. There's a time for everything. There's a time to have fun. There's a time to be serious. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. You know, and right now we're talking about, you know, relationships. You're talking specifically about father and son, but I think we're talking about parenthood. I think we're talking about
parenthood.
The kingdom of God. I think we're just. Right. We're pouring out to men that are out there specifically, and even ladies that are listening. You said it, Brother Ray, you know, don't push them guys away just because you got a problem. You know, at the end of the day, that man might be the best answer for that child's life.
Right.
Mad with him over something that's between you and him that the kid's got nothing to do with. Why punish the kid? You know, and why bite your nose to spite your face? You know, when this guy has what is needed to bring this kid up so that you both as parents can see that kid grow up and be better than you are.
Right.
The kid, you know, and that's why the Bible, man, you know, all of our answers are in there. And, you know, that's why I love Romans and renewing of the mind, and you know, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. You know,
right,
you
right.
gotta humble yourself. You gotta think of others more than you think of yourself.
Right.
You know, and think about it, Ray. That's what parents do. You know, parents will go without so their kids can have.
Right.
That's love, man. So we We gotta show the love of God. We gotta draw people in. We gotta use the right kind of bait. So don't be so rigid. Don't be so hard. Laugh a little bit. Have a little fun, you know.
Yeah, and by what you said, it kind of centers on what my pastor preached on today. And one of the things he said is, as Christians, not only should we show the love of Christ, but we also should demonstrate the grace that also comes with it.
Right.
Amen.
Because one of the things that we as Christians, unintentionally for some might be intentional, is that we turn people away because we don't demonstrate the grace that comes with what we receive. We receive grace, and we're still operating in grace because we don't have it all together.
You preaching good now.
and when we demonstrate grace to other people, we're showing that, hey, we don't have it all together ourselves. But guess what? Because we have a relationship that is steady being built and steady growing in Christ, we want to extend that same opportunity to you. And guess what? He'll take you just as you are. He will clean you up. I've seen so many Christians try to take on the role of Christ and try to clean people up themselves for their own glory and own, you know, self-glory. But if you just introduce and if you just plant the seed, then God and the Holy Spirit could just take it from there. He doesn't need help. And that's one of the things, too, you know, as it pertains to being the parent also is just like, you know, Christ gives us grace and love. And when we make mistakes as parents, we should also demonstrate that same grace and love to our children, because guess what? They're going to make mistakes just like we make mistakes. And we shouldn't beat them over the head for their mistakes, because God could do the exact same thing to us when we make a mistake.
Oh, man. Ain't that what the Amen. Bible says? If God counted our sins against us, who could stand? Oh man, that's so true, Tony. And he just
Amen.
Stay.
Amen. Hey, my brother, we are almost out of time, I appreciate everything that's been said today, and I want to reiterate again. Reach out to somebody out there. You know, whether you have kids or you don't have kids, reach out to someone. There's a lot of young men and young women that are hurting. The ministry is much needed. Not just with the youth, but with us senior citizens too.
Yeah.
With us senior citizens too, man. There's so much that is going on within the world, and there's so much that's going on in the world. So we all should be touching in agreement with each other, and we should definitely speaking and living our life the way Christ would have us that we desire. What I want to do real quick, we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. We're going to do two prayers. Brother Cleophas, I want you to pray for fathers, okay? And Brother Tony, if you can pray for sons, amen, and daughters. But talk to about families. Just put it like, just pray for families, and then close it out, okay? All right, that'll cover everybody. But definitely do want you, Brother Cleophas, to pray for fathers and men, okay? Fathers and
yes.
men. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this broadcast. Father, we thank you for the lives of the men and the women that are being touched all over this land, Father. I think that every need is met for every man, everyone that's under the sound of my voice, Father. I pray that their lives are full, Father. I pray that no weapons formed against them shall prosper, O Lord. And Father, I pray for strong relationships. I pray that the men and the sons of God will take their rightful place in the land, Father. That men would be men, Father. That they will set a standard up in their homes, Father, to represent the kingdom of God and represent you, Lord God. That there will be no strife in the home, Father. There will be open communication in the home, Father. And even if the father's not in the home, Father, I pray that his heart would be turned towards you. For the Bible says that when you do things, do them as unto the Lord and not unto men. Don't seek to please men, but seek to please you, Lord. Because if we please you, everything in our lives will line up, Father, for your word says so. And Daddy, I just thank you for the men that are on this show. I thank you for the vision that you placed in Brother Ray. I thank you for Brother Tony and Brother Elson and Brother Tyrone, Father. And I thank you for each and every man that's listening to this show, Father. I thank you that they're blessed and highly favored, Father. I thank you that there's no stress, strain, or struggle in their lives, Father. I thank you for increase in their lives every day, Father. And Father, I thank you that they will come to know you as Lord and Savior of their lives, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
And Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we want to continue to pray, God, for families in general, God. Father, we just want to pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you please, God, allow your Holy Spirit to be with each and every family, God, the father, the mothers, God, the sons and the daughters, God. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you strengthen families, God, because we know that strong families build strong communities, God. And, Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that we just pray that the enemy, God, the weapons of the enemy, God, are bound, God. We pray, God, that no weapon formed against any family, God, shall prosper, God. Father, we pray, God, that within each family, God, that love and grace, mercy, God, compassion, God, notify, we pray, God, all these things. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit, God, to be exhibited within each and every family, God. Father, we just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that every family, from the husband down to the smallest child, would look towards you, God, and let every family be built on the solid foundation and upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Let every family look towards your word, God. And Father God, we pray, God, that any family, God, that might not know you, God, or might not have a relationship with you, God, we pray that one of those family members, God, is introduced to you, God, and that one family member will lead their whole entire family towards Christ, God. We, Father, we just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray that families will be able to excel because of you, God. We pray, God, that families will be stronger because of you, God. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that families will be able to help other families, God, because of the love and compassion that you have shown upon us, God. Father, we thank you, God, so much for all that you are doing, God. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray this prayer, God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, as always. That's an awesome topic. Amen. I pray that you guys have a blessed rest of that night and evening. Amen. You've been listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Amen. Our topic has been Fathers and Sons. I'm Ray Rose. Brother Cleophas has been with us, and Brother Antonio. Amen. We pray that we do this every second Sunday. I got to get that right. Every second Sunday at 7 p.m. So we pray that y'all be blessed. Listen to you can listen to us in the message in entirely, probably about 20 minutes on the different platforms, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and just to name a few. Okay. But thanks, brothers. I appreciate you. God bless.
God bless.
Amen. Have a blessed week.
You too. All right. God bless.